All right, we're gonna do Sandra now.
Yay.
Okay, and again, you've had yours, I've looked at yours before on other calls like this, so if you have specific stuff that you want to me to go through.
Every time it's like I understand a little bit more. It's kind of too much information.
It's a lot. And I find that even though I've gone through some of yours before, when I go through them again, you know, it's like if I know more about you, or as I learn more, or I'm just intuitively tuning in to specific spots. So, yeah, we can just go through it then. There we go. Open in a new window. See, it keeps making me verify it's me. Why are they doing this?
Maybe you think you're a hacker. You're in
everywhere. I think I'm a hacker in my own thing. Okay. So we're going to start with, you know, your detoxifications, the 1B1. We go back to this chart and we look at 1B1, detoxifying estrogen, right? And gives a increased risk of some of these other cancers and stuff. So you basically look through here. You have fibrocystic breasts. You know, interestingly enough, with fibrocystic breasts, a lot of people get results with iodine, but not just like taking iodine, but iodine topically applied to the breasts, right? Dr. Jonathan Wright talks about that. The one that wrote the iodine book, Brownstein, talks about that. But Wright also talks about it he's had some success, not always, with fibroids, uterine fibroids. And he basically has people, you know, paint it vaginally, right? And put it up vaginally to help with that. So it helps with the fibrocystic stuff. Caffeine's super important. I know you don't do much except for chocolate. So, you know, just, you know, be careful on the chocolate for that. But you also have these others, the 1A1, you know, the 1A1 and the 1A2 are yellow. So caffeine is an important thing to avoid. I'm going to skip some of the things to avoid when I know you guys, you know, I know you well enough to know you already do it. Some of you who are newer and I don't know that, I'll go through that in more detail. The 2C9, that's this one here. And let's see, you can go here, 2C9 here, right? So it's basically related to a lot of the drugs, which you don't really do, right? So no. I'm not concerned about, you're already doing, like, it's not that I'm not concerned about something. It's like, but you're already doing what you're supposed to do to protect yourself there. We do have a couple of glutathione SNPs, and it could be helpful to be doing either foods that help you to make more glutathione or taking some extra glutathione. That may help overall.
I do take it.
You too take it? You take the liposomal?
I think it's a Quicksilver or whatever it's called.
Quicksilver? Okay. Yeah. All right. So make sure you're taking whatever the recommended dose is for that, because it varies from one to another. The one I take is the liquid liposomal from Seeking Health, and it's 1 teaspoon is the dose. For, you know, for others.
Yeah, what I switch is because it has kind of an aftertaste.
Yeah, I usually mix it in with other stuff. Mm. Right. So if I just put all my liposomals in one glass, and I'll add some powdered vitamin C to that, or some lemon juice or apple cider vinegar or something like that too, you know, and you got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not, the liposomals are not great. Some of them have lemon flavor.
No, but afterwards it's like, it's something.
There's something there, yeah. Yeah, try something like lemon juice or add a couple of drops of an essential oil to it. That might help as well.
Okay.
You know, the NAT, again, avoiding all those chemicals and those things that we talked about with other people. Your glucuronidation looks okay. Sulfation. The cruciferous vegetables. How do you do with garlic and onion? Do you have a hard time with them? No. They're good. Yeah. So those are good, right? Some people have an up regulation. Some people have a down regulation. And some people with some of the sulfur metabolism pathways have a hard time with the sulfur containing vegetables, and other people really crave them and need them. So it just depends on where the pathway is broken down. Let's see. you have, you know, one MTHFR. I just say with this is just keep up with your green leafies, your green smoothies. When you travel, make sure that you're either, you know, taking green powders and things like that. I really like traveling with them. What's the name of that company? Drawing a blank. But they do broccoli powder. They have broccoli sprout powder.
Z-natural.
Yeah. They have broccoli sprout powder, kale powder. And those make really nice. You just carry those around with you. So at least you're getting something. You can get dehydrated kales and things like that. Yeah, your B12. Do you take the B12, liposomal B12?
Yeah, we increased it. We doubled the dose now.
Doubled the dose now. Good. Yeah.
But does it, the B12, does it make you a little more edgy or nervous? Couldn't that be?
It could. Okay. So if that's happening, you're taking too much. Let me see what your COMT status is. It generally doesn't with that COMT status, but it could. It could be just too many methyl groups that cause some of the backup in the COMT and the other pathways there. So if you doubled it and it caused you to get a little jittery, then go back to what you were taking for a couple of days and then just increase it gradually instead of doubling.
Well, because what I was taking before, it looks like I still needed more.
Yeah. Right. But I would say increase it gradually to find the right dose. Doubling it might be too much.
I'm not sure it's because of, you know, the times and all the things at work with the coronavirus and, you know.
Right.
Or it's the double.
You don't know. The only way to know is to go back to the dose you were taking before. If you're at that dose and do that for a few days and you go, well, I'm not jittery anymore. Then you just gradually increase your dose. You know, increase one drop, two drop, three drops, four drops, five drops. And if you start to get jittery again, then you know that you passed your limit. Everybody's a little different, right? Okay. And it's really guesswork when we come up with a dosing based on the labs, this and that. But really, it's how does it work within your body? Mm-hmm. Make sense? Yeah. You know, you have a little bit of a slowness potential in initiating the detox pathways, right? So yeah. A lot of people had reds, but you know, it's a little, your body's going, yeah, we'll get to it. Let's take a nap first, you know, and let that toxin simmer. So it's just really, avoidance is so super important.
Well, right? I'm doing the sauna every day now.
That's good. Yeah. And the pesticides, herbicides, you're already, you know, sticking to organics and stuff. Omega-3s are super important for you, as is the phospholipids, so the sunflower lecithin. And it's being consistent, because I know sometimes you'll start something and then you do it for a while and then you go, oh, I probably don't need this anymore. But the stuff that's genetically indicated, you probably are going to continue to need, right? So from the Alzheimer's standpoint, I'm just going to take a quick look at those two that I'm drawing a blank onto what that particular one is, but you know, big things with Alzheimer's risk is avoiding toxins, you know, keeping clean, which you already do, and then also looking at blood sugar, which you work on, but you tend to have some issues with keeping it under control sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, I'm using the liver now. What I noticed, I was in Florida, and when it's extremely hot, my blood sugar rises.
Okay, that's a stress factor, and that's not an uncommon one. Mm-hmm. That's not an uncommon one.
Yesterday I did it after the sauna, and also it was really high.
Yeah, so, you know, don't do it right after the sauna. Do it, you know, within a little bit.
Well, now it's easy because I don't have to prick my finger anymore.
The thing to be careful about with the Freestyle Libre is it's sensitive to vitamin C, and it can go up. I went time and I thought it was the sauna, and I thought, but I got in the sauna, and I'm doing, like, work, and I'm looking at my thing and going, why is my sugar going up? Why is it up to 140? That's ridiculous. And I'm like, is it really that sensitive to heat? It was one of the first times I'd used it in the sauna. And I'm like, wow, that's really, and I remembered that I had taken vitamin C, like a lot, like a 4-gram dose of vitamin C before I got in, and I started looking it up. And so high dose vitamin C, I haven't determined what that dose is. It seemed like it was okay if I just took 1 gram, but I'm not sure exactly, and it might be different for each person where it would interfere. So yeah, the heat does. And so that might be that, you know, in the sauna to be careful with not going too hot in there, right? Because when you go too hot, you get into a sympathetic state. And that would raise your sugar. So if it's raising your sugar.
I want to sweat and I have difficulty sweating.
So yeah. And there's trade-offs there.
140, so.
Yeah, so the people that sold me mine, the one that we had at Shine, which is the halfway one, they say don't go above 120. And that you don't have to be sweating to get the effect, and that you get into parasympathetic at 120. So play with the, what I'm saying is play with the temperature and play with the time. How long are you staying in there?
Half hour.
Yeah, so try a couple of experiments, right? Try staying in for the half hour, but setting it to 120 and seeing if it raises your sugar. Then try setting it to 140 and only doing it for 10 minutes. And then the rest of the time at 120. So just play with it and see if you can get to a place where you get some sweating going, but you also keep your blood sugar stabilized. How high does it go?
Yesterday was 160.
Yeah, that's too much. I don't want to see you getting up to 160. And it started out where? What was it before you went in?
I don't know.
So test before you go in.
Yeah.
And then test the different temperatures and the different lengths of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you don't want to, it's like, you know, the expression my mother used to say all the time, you don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. Did you ever hear that expression?
Yeah.
Right? So you don't want to be compromising one part of your system while enhancing another part of your system. We want to find that balance. Just because the paper says 140, maybe not the right for you. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Because I don't want to see that's way high. How long did it take to come back down?
You know, it started coming down after, you know, my face was red. You know, I was hot. The good thing is that when I go in bed, I'm not cold and my husband is happy that I'm not warm.
That's super good. But I would double check it and see all how right. long.
That's
if it's going up there and then, you know, within 10 minutes, it's back down to normal. That's different than if it takes a couple of hours to get back down to like under 100.
Okay.
All right. And that'll affect, if you're doing it at night and you're going to bed with a high sugar, that's going to affect your morning reading as well, which is going to jock your A1C up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
Okay. So I wanted to look this Tom one up. This one is, this is an important one. This Tom 40. Because it codes for an enzyme that allows for the entrance in and out of the cells of nutrients.
Mm. So that has to do with the absorption issues that I have?
It might.
That I think I have.
That you think. That maybe it's getting absorbed through your digestive tract, but not necessarily into the cells. And it's into the mitochondria per se. So having to do with energy. Do you have high triglycerides?
Yes.
And this gene could be associated with the high triglycerides.
Well, I have them right now. I don't think I have them consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My last 98 was my last one.
98, so a little bit high. You know, so keeping your sugars steady. Vitamin D is super important on this one.
And I'm doing good on vitamin D.
You're doing good on vitamin D. Okay, and then keeping your homocysteine under 8.
That I think is not working.
And if not, and that's why probably why you raised your B12. And your B6 is super important for that one too. And let me look at your B6 number, your B6 gene. you have a heterozygous on B6 and you have combination on D. Your zinc and iron, okay. 9B12. Yeah, and the CLU that you have a red one on is important for clearing out toxins and dead cells, basically. So I think working on getting that homocysteine down is important. If it's above 8, it needs to come down below 8. So playing with your B12 and B6 status, probably not so much the folate, although that's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm taking methylfolate too, I guess, to help with the B12.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're taking B6 as well? P5P?
P5P, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what's your most, check with your most recent homocysteine. If your most recent homocysteine is 8 or above 8, then playing with those doses of those three to get it down below 8 is important. And it's important for your brain health as well as your cardiovascular. Do you take any magnesium? Yeah, you do.
I'm taking the glycinate. And the other day you suggested that I added the citrate.
I did because of the bowel issues, right? And the oxalates, potentially. So that's an important one to keep up. Did you get any leg cramps?
Yes. Most likely feet cramps.
Yeah, so up your magnesium and make sure you have enough potassium.
Of the citrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much is a dose?
There's a whole process for figuring out your bowel tolerance dose.
Oh. So
you just keep increasing it, only varying that one thing, right? You'd have to keep your vitamin C dose the exact same. And then gradually increase the magnesium until it's.
So would you do a powder as well?
I would do a powder. I recommend powder. It's absorbed better as well.
Okay.
Where did that, here it is. What was this? Well, I'm just going to look at which one this is. 144848. I'm going to do a thing on the BRCA genes. Because a lot of you had various variations and some of them are scary and some of them are not.
I thought I didn't have it.
You have a BRCA1 and it's the one that is specifically, when I looked it up, does not have an association or high correlation to high. You have this one.
That's true. Right.
But I'm going to look these up because Lynn sent me a link. And then let me see which one she sent me the link to. Let's see. This was RS2889.
It says that that's the lead, the top one for.
Say it again, you're very low and I didn't hear what you said, Lynn.
That's the one it said was the one that had the highest risk.
The highest risk, the 8-8, yeah. And then I wanted to review that one plus this list, which lists all of them. And just to be able to give I'll just do a quick thing because so many people had them, but they had different variations on it. And the one that you have does not, this is the one I looked up that has the lowest risk, the 288. Where's the 288 one here?
If you look at that one that I sent you.
Yeah, I did. 28897.
It talks about the thing like you've been teaching with the caffeine and the amines and all that stuff. So, you know, it just fits in with everything that you were.
Yeah. And I don't see that one listed on here.
It's not.
Okay. I want to do a more thorough search because when we look at mine, I have one of them. Which one do I have? I have the 1791. So I'm going to do a little thing on this.
It seemed to imply that the BRCA2 is not as worrisome as those BRCA1s.
Really? And I always thought it was
the
two.
Don't take care of yourself and everything, but the BRCA1s more consideration for.
Yeah, I'll do a separate little thing on it because I really want to understand it better and have a sense of, because it looks like the one that has the most danger to it is not one that's listed here. So anyway, we're going to move on. We'll take a little break. Let me just see if there's anything else here that I wanted to make sure that I talked to you about that you don't already know. Just make sure that the nutrients that show that you have a genetic tendency to have low, that you're making sure that you supplement. And we've already talked about this one with the collagen repair and taking that collagen protein. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okie dokie.
Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Let's let me stop share, stop the recording. Somebody who's in charge of reminding me to start the recording again when we come back. I'll put a note on my screen.